You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.
Let's stay standing. I'm not going to talk for long. I want to continue worshiping with just a few reflections on Good Friday. Hopefully my voice comes back. I'm not as bad as Derek. Derek hasn't had a voice all week, but don't worry, his voice is going to resurrect on Sunday. And he's going to bring some powerful, powerful words of truth for us. But Good Friday, it's a strange day. In most cultures, it actually is called Dark Friday, or Suffering Friday, or Long Friday. It was actually, in English, called God Friday, and somehow along the way, we messed it up and decided to call it Good Friday. But it is good. And like Jess said at the beginning, Pastor Jessica said, Sunday is going to be so much joy and celebration at the truth that God conquered death so that we could have life. What a joyous, miraculous thing. But the miracle of that is because he first chose to die for us. You can't have Sunday without Friday. It is in contrast to the darkness that light shines brightest. It's why your candles are popping in this room, because it is bringing light in this darkness. And we as a culture, we want to sneak past that sometimes. We want to skip ahead to the good part. We want to see the happy ending. We don't want to focus on the pain or the suffering. We want to ignore that or evade that. And I love how Jesus didn't do that. He didn't sidestep suffering. He stepped right into it. He took death head on. And he said, because of that, he has the power. Scripture says he has the right to be lifted up above all names because he chose to lower himself. That's the crazy way of Jesus. To be great, you must humble yourself. To be lifted up, you must lower yourself. Even God himself emptied himself for us. And tonight, we celebrate that. We recognize that. And we sit in this moment of somberness and we reflect upon the cost. We don't always think about the cost for the good things in our life. We have food and we don't think about where it comes from. We have clothes to wear and we don't often think about the cost it took to make those and the blood, sweat, and tears that went into this. We live in a country where we have freedom and liberty and safety. And it's so easy that we forget sometimes the weight of it and the cost. And Friday, we can stop for a moment and think about the cost. Friday is also this time where we recognize the reality of unmet expectations. We've all had that in our life, right? And if we look back to the story of the disciples, the followers of Jesus, they are living in the aftermath of unmet expectations. They were following this rabbi who they thought was going to liberate their country of Israel from Roman rule. They thought he would be this political Messiah. They have lived with him. They'd seen his power over the past 3 years. And just a week prior on Palm Sunday, which we celebrated last week, they come into Jerusalem, the capital, triumphant. The people are there screaming praise, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna to the highest. The Son of David is here, speaking of Jesus. They celebrated him as king. They lay down their coats and palm branches so that the donkey Jesus is on doesn't even touch the ground. That's how much accolade they give to Jesus. And the disciples are elated. Political liberation is almost here. And then not even a week later, the same man is being beaten and bruised and mocked. And the same people who said, worship him, Hosanna, are now crying out, crucify him. And it reminds me not to put too much stock in people's opinions and to not let people and their affirmations or their accolades dictate your worth. Because the same people who say, Hosanna, praise him, may say, crucify you when times get tough. So we place our worth in God. And we see Jesus is betrayed like Shelley spoke about. And his disciples, when they begin to see this man appear to be defeated, one by one, they drop off in fear and they sneak away. over the next few days while he's on trial. And finally, even Peter the rock, the guy who said, Jesus, I will die before I leave you, denies Jesus three times. And they connect eyes. And Peter sees the expression on Jesus' face and he runs away broken. So we see the disciples over Friday and Saturday are living in the wreckage of unmet expectations. But you know what's funny? Their expectations were far lower than they should have been. They wanted mere political freedom, and Jesus said, I'm doing something infinitely bigger. I am liberating the universe. I am reconciling humanity to myself. You want freedom for your little tribe? I want freedom for all of existence. And that's what he came to do. That was his mission on earth. And I think sometimes we get so disheartened when our expectations are not met. And I think sometimes Jesus is saying, your expectations were too low in the first place. They were too small in the first place. I'm doing something bigger. And like Gil said, don't run away. You see, this all happened in Jerusalem. The disciples weren't from Jerusalem. They were from other parts. And though they snuck away and they ran in fear when Jesus was crucified, they didn't run all the way home. Slowly, somehow, they made their way back to each other. So that on Sunday morning, when it is the women are the only ones with the courage to go to the tomb, and it is the women who see the angels and the stone rolled away, and they see Jesus, and they run back to the disciples, they find them all together, waiting. See, the opposite of faith is not doubt. It's not uncertainty, and I don't think it's even fear, it's apathy. The opposite of faith is giving up. It's throwing in the towel, it's saying, I'm done. And though the disciples ran in fear, they did not yet give up. They're waiting, they're trusting that something bigger was happening. And that is what Friday represents. And the last thing to me, as I reflect upon it, as Chris said at the beginning, and we didn't talk about this, but I wrote on my one little note, I said, if you walk away with anything, I want people to know that this day represents how much God loves you and me and loves us. It says this in Romans here. It says, you see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless. I love that. While we were still powerless, it implies that we are no longer powerless. But it says, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely anyone will die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, he died for us. God says, I've been telling you I love you from the beginning, through my creation, through beauty, through art, through pine trees, through oceans, through music, through delicious food. I've told you that I love you, but it's not enough. And then he spoke words of scripture and words of comfort, and he did all these things. He moved heaven and earth, and he said, I've yet to give you one thing, and that is myself. And I will come and die, and that will show you my love. And it says, since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more so now, having been reconciled and made friends of God, shall we be saved through his life? If God's death reconciled us, how much more will his life transform us? I'm going to close with this. I remember a few years ago, the company I was working at, middle of a Wednesday, went out of business on 1 p.m. It was a rough time. It was one of those seasons where I was in the middle. It was the tension. I didn't know what was coming next. It was uncertain. It was unexpected. And I was at home, not dealing with it very well. I'm watching daytime television, which is very sad. I think it was Dr. Phil. And it was the story of this teenage girl who was just this angry person, not doing well in school. She was kind of a bully, and they're trying to get to the bottom of this. Why is she so mad and angry and rebellious? And as they begin to peel the layers back, they see she's actually just this hurting, broken girl. And she had actually turned to cutting. And at part of the show, she lifts her skirt, and you can see there's scars all along her leg from where she had cut herself. And she had wrote the words, you are fat, you are ugly, and no one loves you. Scarred into her leg. And I don't know why I started weeping. As you can see, I weep pretty easily. But I started weeping on my couch at 2 in the afternoon at this poor girl who had scarred herself that said, "You're unlovable." And I thought, man, Friday is the day that Jesus says, "My scars tell you a different story. You may believe the lie that you don't matter, but my scars tell you I love you more than you could ever know. My death reveals my love for you." Sometimes we get caught up in the why. Why did Jesus die? And we get all theological about it. Was it this? Was it atonement? Was it justification? Whatever. Maybe we don't spend so much energy worrying about the why and just resting in the wonder of the reality that it shows God's love for us. And that's my prayer for us as we step into this season, as we step into this time of the tension, of the unknown. We can still not run from Jerusalem, but trust and hope God is still working. We have our candles. I want to read some scripture for us. And I want to challenge us as we move out of this space tonight, that we do so not with sadness, but with a somber recognition of the cost of the suffering that Jesus went through to save us. And at the end of my scripture reading, I want us to blow our candles out together. And we're going to have some silence. And would love for us to have some silence even as we exit the space. And when you get into the lobby and you get outside, say hi to your friends and be joyful. But I want to have this time to recognize the weight of it. I think it's no surprise that Jesus didn't rise immediately, right? He could have rose in 3 hours or 3 minutes, but it took 3 days. It's not like a movie where the hero dies and you're like, well, in 10 seconds, he's gonna wake up. Unless it's Game of Thrones, and then he's for sure dead. But there was this period of time that was tension, where darkness reigned. But thank God we know this side of things, Sunday is coming. And so we invite you back to this space, 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. for Sunday. It's gonna be a party. But let me read these words out of the Gospels. After Jesus had been beaten and tortured and ripped naked, hung on a cross. It says, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture could be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of hyssop, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." And darkness came over the whole land, and the sun stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. And Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he bowed his head and he breathed his last. Let's blow our candles out together.
You are listening to the Makers Church podcast. For more information about our community, please visit makerschurch.org.